Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. Hour 2. We are live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. The weather now is beautiful in Southern California. Very nice weekend. You know, our teams are now suddenly gone from the top of the world to cascading down the mountain. But beyond that, things are pretty good here. How was your weekend?
It was great. It was a beautiful weekend in L.A.
It was.
Sun was shining. Beach was crazy. The beaches themselves, when they're busy, like, people aren't next to each other, so it's still safe, but it's not the easiest place to get to if you don't live over there.
Yeah. I had champagne yesterday afternoon. I'm not even a champagne fan. I just said to my wife, let's go have champagne. 70 degrees, 75 degrees. Such a beautiful day.
Living a big time life, Colin.
Big time. Champagne. I mean, you can't get it anywhere else but L.A. Prosecco, Italy and here, that's it. All right, here we go. Colin Right, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Good things come to those who wait. At Jersey Mike's, they come to those who don't. Download the app, order ahead, skip the line, cut to the chase by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above, and here we go.
Where Colin was right.
John Lynch quoted yesterday saying, we're going to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. That's always been our preference. Draft a quarterback and keep Jimmy. We're happy to have that situation because it's a really strong one. Jed, the owner, and his family, okay with it. It fits in the cap. It's a pretty good situation. Listen, it always made the most sense for us. You only gave up a second-round pick for him, and he got you to a Super Bowl. So it's not like you have to win some sort of trade. It's why I never bought into Mac Jones has to be the draft pick because he can play right away. This is a Super Bowl roster. I don't want a rookie quarterback playing right away. Keep Garoppolo until the wheels come off. It could be September, but if not, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, this roster, that's a division-winning team. Why do you need to get rid of him and play your quarterback at a college immediately?
Where Colin was wrong.
I've ripped Ryan Pace, the Bears GM, for the last 2 years, but I thought Chicago, he showed guts. They moved up. Listen, the Bears made the playoffs last year, and Matt Nagy has a winning record with Mitch Trubisky, who I never thought was a first-round or a second-round quarterback. So, in the end, they went and got, many believe, is the second best pure quarterback talent in the draft. He doesn't have to be a starter day one. He will absolutely play this year, and depending on the schedule, hopefully it's soft early, you can, move him in October, early November. But I got to be fair. This GM drives me nuts. I thought it was a big-time move. I still can't figure out what Washington's doing at quarterback. That's a mystery to me.
Where Colin was right.
Said from the beginning, Mac Jones, wherever he lands, should be the fifth quarterback taken. Now, that doesn't mean he won't succeed. It doesn't mean he couldn't have a nice career. But when you have average size, no mobility, and an okay arm, you're not a first or a second or a third quarterback in an incredibly strong draft. Again, New England's a good fit, but he had a college DUI. He didn't start any more games than Trey Lance. He was easily the least athletic. And frankly, we have to be honest about this. Alabama quarterbacks look really average when they get to the NFL because they're surrounded by such great coaches and great players. I thought on Mac Jones we were right.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I thought LeBron and AD would come back to the Lakers and it would be rainbows and winning streaks. The Lakers are 1-5 since AD came back, 0-2 since LeBron came back, and they look like they're a mess. Even Kyle Kuzma said yesterday, we're not there and we're not close. And they're also only a handful of games left, as Joy said, and they need to win some, but unfortunately they play the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Blazers, and the Knicks, and those teams want to have good playoff position, and those teams right now are playing better with better chemistry. So it has not gone well for the Lakers, and LeBron is hurt again.
Where Colin was right.
The whole John Gruden Raiders thing was always a little bit of a head-scratcher. They keep butchering their first-round picks, and Alex Leatherwood got more criticism than any first-round pick. Here's my thing. This is Gruden's fourth draft. and their defense still stinks. How many drafts do you get to make the defense decent, viable? I mean, I like some of their offensive weapons, but he didn't draft Derek Carr. He didn't draft Darren Waller, the tight end. They got him from Baltimore. Show me all the hits in draft picks. And for the record, trading Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, they got great picks for it. Have they hit on any of them? They drafted three safeties. Could they get a pass rusher, please? We don't need more safeties. They need pass rushers.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought the Dodgers had a chance to be one of the best baseball teams in over a decade. They're a hot and cold roller coaster. Mookie Betts and Corey Seager are in horrible slumps. They have won four of their last 14 games. Their bullpen shaky. They got an injury issue. Now Dustin May got hurt. And of their 14 RBIs yesterday, of the 16 runs, 14 came from two guys that aren't even starters. So they're not playing well. Milwaukee got the best of them. Right now they're a second-place team with cold hitters and injuries to the San Francisco Giants.
Where Colin was right.
My question on the Brooklyn Nets, number one, chemistry. KD, Harden, and Kyrie don't play together. Number two is, how are they going to defend bigs? Andre Drummond has eaten them alive. Yesterday, Giannis had 49 and a dunk to start the game. Listen, say what you want about Milwaukee, but Giannis is a handful if you don't have a big. By the way, Philadelphia, Joel Embiid, when healthy, he's got a baby Shaq quality. So this idea that, you know, Brooklyn's talented, but if it's just a talent league we're talking about, there Miami would not end up in the finals last year. It is coaching. Can you defend the rim? Do you have length, size, veteran, young guys? Brooklyn, to me, all offense, weird chemistry, can't defend bigs. And we really don't know, to be honest with you, how three of these stars are going to work once the postseason begins.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I had a strong feeling that the first player taken in the second round was going to be Notre Dame offensive tackle Liam Eichenberg, Notre Dame going to the Jags, and Joel Klatt shut me down quickly. Okay. I am going to tell you who is the first pick in today's Jags have the first pick.
Oh, okay, great. I would love to know. I actually have it on my phone.
Okay.
Please let me know.
Okay. You have it on your phone.
Yeah, of course. I'm not going to tell you.
Liam Eichenberg, Notre Dame, left tackle, first pick, Jags. Boom, go to your phone. What's it say?
Well, I'm not going to tell you. I can't divulge what it is. I'm going to tell you, I think you're wrong.
Okay, well, I was wrong. They took a cornerback from Georgia, Liam Eichenberg, who is a great tackle, is going to go to the Miami Dolphins 9 picks later, and he's going to start for the next 10 years, but I got shut down pretty quickly.
Where Colin was right.
And with that, I said, intelligence is why you should hire Urban Meyer. He'll figure out the NFL. And Shad Khan, the owner, was quoted last week saying, I hired him because he was curious and intelligent. He'll figure out the rest later. I also thought, I predicted that Urban would have a very good draft, and it was funny if you watched it. He took a lot of 5-star high school players who he had recruited at Ohio State. I thought the Jags draft had a direction. Running game, solve the left tackle situation, and have a direction. But Shad Khan came out and said he hired him for the same reason I said I would hire him. He's one of the single smartest guys I've ever met in football. Came over to Fox, first show, hit a home run as an analyst. The guy really knows football. So good stuff today. Aaron Rodgers, more on that story coming up. I said at the top of last hour, and Albert Breer came on about 40 minutes ago and said, Green Bay does not believe Jordan Love is ready to play. Which is fine if you still think there's a ton of talent. But if Jordan Love could play, none of this would be really hard to solve. Go to Denver, get Jerry Jeudy, give me a number two receiver, give me some draft picks, Jordan, move him in and play. It's not the world's toughest division. In fact, I could make an argument, if Jordan Love could play, you'd feel better in Green Bay than Aaron would going and having to face Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, and Patrick Mahomes in 6 games. But according to Albert Breer, he's not ready to play yet, and that puts enormous pressure on Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of Green Bay, who many speculate just went rogue on the Jordan Love pick. Trent Dilfer will join us next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday on FS1, the stars of NASCAR go old school with the throwback race from Darlington. Catch some of the most iconic rides as they hit the track for the Goodyear 400. It all starts Sunday at 3:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. We're celebrating Throwback Week all week on FS1, starting today on Speak for Yourself.
I love that Micah Parsons, Roger Goodell moment on the NFL draft.
Yeah, that's great.
The big bro hug. You know, it's just fun. But I don't do draft grades because I just don't know. Like, you know, if you can get a guy that can make your team and make plays, even if it's special teams and you can get him in the sixth round, you've hit it. Do you know that only 54% of first-round players, like, get a second contract? Like, that's the number. So that's first round. So, you know, it's. I thought Miami's first four picks, starters. I watched all of them play in college. I still contend Liam Eikenberg is a great tackle. He'll start day one right tackle, maybe left tackle for them. Miami, I thought, did really, really well. And, you know, a 10-6 team, when you're in a rebuild and win 10 games and you're still not really sure if the quarterback you have is the right guy, you're really well run. We talk about this all the time. You can see well-run teams. Miami right now is really well run. They're not a great football team, but they're really well run. I think the Chargers right now, not a great football team, but good God, do they have a good offseason. They just solved that offensive line. Trent Dilfer played in the NFL for 15 years. It's a long time to play pro football. Got a Super Bowl and a Pro Bowl joining us live. You know, the Justin Fields thing is really interesting because Joy and I were talking. He got a lot of college starts. He's not Trey Lance. I mean, this guy was in a big program. He got a bunch of starts. He's played, you know, 7-on-7s. You know him. This kid's not that far off from playing to me. You got Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. Let's say you're Matt Nagy. How long do you wait on a Justin Fields?
Well, I think two things. One, you're Matt Nagy. You just landed a generational talent with, what, the 11th pick. I think they're celebrating as much as anybody right now in the National Football League. I think Nagy was on that staff in Kansas City for a year or two where they saw Alex Smith mentor Patrick Mahomes, and they took a very patient approach to Patrick Mahomes, even though in the course of the year they were saying that he looked like he should be started in practice, but they took the long-tail approach. It's worked out pretty well for Kansas City. I think Nagy will learn from that experience. I think Andy Dalton's very much like Alex Smith. I got to spend some time with Alex. I tell people all the time he's a good player, but a great human. I think Andy Dalton's equally great as a human. I think he'll mentor Justin Fields. I think he'll pour out his wealth of understanding of the league, of life, of the game itself, of decision-making to Justin to give him a head start. I'm sure he'll hand off the baton just as Alex did in Kansas City. I really believe it's one of the great picks we've seen in a long time, and I think Justin Fields is going to be a future superstar. I don't want to say like Patrick Mahomes because we may be talking about a guy that's going to go down as one of the top quarterbacks of all time, but a quarterback, I think Justin Fields has a chance to develop into one of the league's great players.
So John Lynch acknowledged yesterday, we're going to keep Garoppolo, and I said it last week. Listen, you only gave up a second-round pick for him, and you got a Super Bowl out of him, like 23 or 24 wins, so you don't have to win the trade again. And, you know, people say, well, Mac Jones was ready to play. And my takeaway is I don't really want my rookie quarterback playing. I would like all of them. I don't want the – I mean, so to
I'm
me –
I'm with you.
So to me, the Trey Lance situation, keep Garoppolo until the wheels come off, that to me worked. That to me made sense. What did you make of the pick?
Made perfect sense. I mean, I think as this conversation goes on, I'm going to be able to say I think every quarterback pick except number two made a ton of sense to me and were great fits. I think it will go down much like the 1983 draft where each one of these quarterbacks, and we're just not talking about the first rounders. I'm talking about some guys late second, early third that I think have a chance are set up for success as well. But I think what San Francisco did was brilliant. I think they got a kid with a massively high ceiling, a high football IQ. The only gap he has is reps. Well, get him a lot of preseason reps. Jimmy G doesn't need a ton of preseason reps. I think Jimmy G's only $25 million against the cap, which isn't a massive number in today's football for a quarterback. You're right about the trade. You don't have to go win the next trade. I think Jimmy G probably understands it. He's going to have the opportunity to audition for a year to either keep his job there if he's a Pro Bowler and takes him to a Super Bowl, or audition for another huge contract somewhere else. So I think it's a win-win for the 49ers and Jimmy G. I think it's a great fit, much like the Bears situation.
You know, the other thing, Trent, is that Garoppolo, you're not saying he can't play as an organization. No. You're saying, hey, Jimmy, you get hurt a lot. And I think a player can go, okay, I get that. Like, I get what we are with me and without me. So unlike the Aaron situation where he doubts if the GM likes him, I think I kind of feel like Garoppolo feels like they like me, but my body's not trustable, right?
No doubt, and it's good for the locker room too. What never gets talked about draft day is there's 53 guys sitting in the locker room kind of that are getting messaged by what's getting drafted as well. And George Kittle, who's right now right behind me down in our indoor working out, he's fired up that Jimmy G gets to be his quarterback. They have a connection, right? They have a relationship. Yeah, he's going to pour into Trey Lance. And yes, he wants Trey to be a great player. But George wants to catch 115 balls next year and be the best tight end in football. And Jimmy G has the best, would most likely allow that to happen best for George. So, again, there's so many narratives that don't happen over draft weekend that are really impactful within the locker room. I'm going to segue to the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence, because nobody talked about it because of a foregone conclusion. But I think you're talking about a generational talent. Mel Kiper is one of the top four quarterbacks of all time right on his board, and he's going into a great situation. Trent Baalke, one of the great drafters in all of football, had a really good draft. They're doing well in free agency. I love Urban Meyer. Nobody's talked about Schottenheimer and Bevel, two guys that have been around greatness. They've seen greatness develop. They know the process to reaching greatness. I think Trevor, as the first pick, usually the first pick falls into a terrible situation. This is the year where the first pick fell, in my opinion, into a great situation. And I can see them turning that thing around much quicker than people think.
Yeah, it's always been a quirky division, too. That's a division where there's no, I mean, you don't know. We don't know if Carson Wentz hits. We don't know. Now, I think the Jets situation with Zach Wilson, I understood moving off Darnold because now you don't pay the quarterback for 4 years. But you just said you think it's dicey. I do. What are your reasons?
I think it's dicey, not because the talent. I think Zach Wilson is uberly talented, and I could totally understand. Everybody I talk to, even going back to his high school days, there is something unique about how the ball comes off his hand. He is a very good athlete. He's very creative, instinctive. So I'm not talking about the player. I'm talking about a kid from Provo who's played at BYU going to the Big Apple. I just think I think New York eats kids up. And Sam handled it as well as anybody. And again, I think sometimes there's not enough taken into the personality and can they be the CEO of that organization? Can they be the face of that organization? Can they handle being a rock star day one and all that comes with that? I don't know about Zach. From what I heard and from what I've witnessed, I think that could be a real challenge. And then on top of that, you're going against three of the great defensive minds in all of football in your division. Belichick gets you twice? Huh, interesting. They did pretty good over the weekend in free agency. Now their opt-ins coming back. I heard you talking about Miami. I agree. I think Flores and that staff is dialed in as anybody in football, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Oh, and then Sean McDermott, he's pretty good too. He knows a little bit about defense, and they got that Bills organization rolling. So now you throw them into that fire. Great. They had a great draft. Those guys aren't going to come in and beat Belichick and Flores and McDermott day one. Are you kidding me? Good job, Joe Douglas. It's a good draft. I agree. Good, solid draft. You may never be able to get to the point where the guys you just drafted actually are showing fruit on Sundays because you need your brains beat in by three of the better defensive minds in football. Oh, sorry, I didn't mention first-year play caller is your offensive coordinator. Great young coach, but all play callers, whether they're in high school, college, or the NFL, struggle their first year. So you got a green quarterback that may be out over his skis, a first-time play caller. You're going against three of the best defensive minds in the NFL, and all this young talent that's supposed to get you back on the map? Are you kidding me? We won't know how good they are for a couple years.
Yeah. You know, the Green Bay situation, and I tell my kids this all the time, that there's a silver lining everywhere. You just got to find it, right? Like, nothing's all negative. And I even said in the pandemic, yeah, it was awful. L.A. County had zero deaths yesterday, and we had a $15 billion surplus in the California economy because everybody stayed home and watched Netflix. So I said, there's a silver lining in everything. The economy in California is pretty good. And I said, you know, you start looking at the Aaron Rodgers situation. Listen, he's a huge cap hit. He's a little prickly. There's a story out this weekend. They had talked to Aaron in the offseason and had considered moving him. So it's eventually going to happen. I look at this and I think to myself, Trent, if Jordan Love can play here pretty quick, he's a first-round talent. I mean, how long would you just keep on keeping on with Aaron Rodgers? What? I mean, how do you, if you ran the operation, he's clearly unhappy. Jeopardy tryouts. What do you do if you run the Packers?
Well, I think there's a couple things, and I heard you said earlier, I agree with you. He's going to get traded at some point, probably next year. I don't think this year, but again, who knows after June when that salary cap hit goes down a little bit. The bigger issue is it's the NFL and you're trying to win football games. And if you don't appease Aaron to a certain degree, you're going to lose the locker room. If Jordan Love is not ready to play, and this is a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, again, you have 53 dudes in that locker room. Many of them are fathers. Many of them have been in the league for 5, 6, 7, 8 years and are kind of wise and kind of get the business of the NFL. And you will lose that team and you will be rebuilding faster than you can blink if you don't handle this the right way. I think if you're Green Bay, you do everything you possibly can to keep Aaron. Let him go on one more Super Bowl run with this team with the understanding that if his expectations aren't met, then you move on from him in a couple of years. But the difference, everybody's talking about this being like Brett and Aaron. When Aaron was in this situation, Aaron, everybody in that building knew that Aaron Rodgers could play. I remember sitting with you in Bristol in your little studio where you used to do the show, coming to you and saying, hey, the kid that just got named the starter in Green Bay is going to be one of the best of all time. You're like, I don't know, this and that. But everybody from that building knew it was going to happen. So until everybody in that building knows that Jordan loves the dude, he can't be the dude.
Good stuff. Trent Dilfer, Lipscomb Academy head football coach, Nashville, Tennessee. Not many high school programs have George Kittle working out downstairs. That's pretty good.
Let me give you one to go away with. Kellen Mond, Vikings. Watch out in 3 years. That's the sleeper quarterback pick of the draft.
So he went, did he go third round or second? Yeah,
third
round. Kellen Mond, the kid from Texas A&M. All right, I'm going to hold it to that, Dilfer. I'm going to hold
you
to it.
You will. All right, buddy.
All right, good seeing you. Yeah, the Green Bay situation. Listen, we know this about Aaron. What I'm about to say has been published, so I'm just giving you, like, documented truth. Aaron has struggled with his family, brother, mom, dad. He's struggling with the Green Bay family. Aaron's rough. He's hard to get along with. He is. He's difficult. He's prickly. He's passive aggressive. It's not a shot. I'm just stating what has been. So when I first started doing this a long time ago and I got a job at ESPN, so how long, you know, I've been here about 5, 6 years, and that was 11 years, 17 years ago. So I remember I got Aaron on the air one time and he took shots at me because he made the Super Bowl and won it. And I had said, you know, I'd been a little critical, body language, eye rolling. And I got a lot of pushback for years and years on Aaron. A lot of pushback. And slowly but surely, because you could see Jay Cutler, you could see how difficult he was. With Aaron, he's a little smarter, a little more subtle. But then all of a sudden it started coming out, and then local people in Green Bay started reporting it. Is Aaron's a lot of work. It's a lot of Kevin Durant. Is that you look at Kevin Durant, and you're like, he's got Kerr, he's got Steph, he's got Clay, and it's like, it's a lot of work. He's sensitive. He's a little passive aggressive. He's kind of a wanderer. He moves. Kevin Durant and Aaron are kind of the same. Is that they? It's hard to get their feet on the ground sometimes. You're not sure what makes them happy. But I do think once you publicly humiliate each other, franchise quarterback franchise, it's over. Hire lawyers. So let's be honest. If it wasn't for the salary cap hit the Packers would deal with, they'd move him now. That's really the key. The key really isn't if Jordan Love was a little better and the salary cap wasn't as punitive, they'd move him now. So it's going to happen. I mean, we all kind of felt you know, we all kind of felt you could see the Kevin Durant move coming. You can see it coming. Shaq and Kobe, when they went to that Pistons final and they didn't get along and lost, you're like, this isn't going to work. Like, it's just time. The Aaron Rodgers thing is time. The difference is Green Bay doesn't trust their young quarterback. And as Trent said, you play him, he's not ready, it blows up the locker room because you've got a championship-level team. Here is a Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
He wasn't going to be ready. Why did you trade up to draft him?
Yeah, you traded up. That is the danger. You also, there's something to be said. You know, they call it, Joy, the temperature of the room.
Yep.
Okay, Brian Gutekunst knew Aaron's not easy.
Correct.
Like, it's not. And by the way, even the quarterbacks viewed as team guys, Brady, they're human. Like, right, they've got egos, right? He didn't want Garoppolo in the building.
Correct.
So you've got an obvious situation where Aaron needs a little more attention. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? Some guys do. It's okay. I mean, you know, when you're the best, arguably, in your sport, you need a little love. Okay. Get him a lounge chair in the locker room with his name on it. Whatever you got to do. I don't care. But you don't.
You do not.
Move up to get his position, then you can't blame anybody a year later when it goes sideways. This is on the GM.
I truly don't know what reaction they expected Aaron Rodgers to have. It's like when you know someone, everyone in our lives, we know how they are, right? You've spent enough time with someone, you get to know them. You don't expect them to be someone other than they are. That's a waste of your time.
We think Russell Wilson and Brady are team guys, and they have shown us in the last couple of years, they want respect.
That doesn't mean that they're not team guys. It means that they're the best at what they do, and they want things done their way. And maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, but try and do it without them.
That's right.
See how that goes for you. So the 49ers did not trade away Jimmy Garoppolo, despite drafting Trey Lance with the 3rd overall pick. And John Lynch said the weekend played out exactly as they were hoping it would.
That was our preference to draft a quarterback and keep Jimmy. And, you know, provided that, you know, someone didn't come and just completely blow us away. And, you know, they gave us that commitment that, yeah, we could do that. And we're happy to have that situation right now because we believe it's a very strong one.
Yeah. If Jimmy's upright, they're a Super Bowl team. Well, they're a top three. I mean, if I said tomorrow, Garoppolo plays the entire season, Joy. Tampa, San Francisco, Kansas City, favorites to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I mean, San Francisco had so many injuries outside of Jimmy last year. I mean, we remember we'd put the graphic up.
Yeah.
It was like 17 guys. So we, you know, we're obviously focusing on the fact that Jimmy was injured, but they had a lot of injuries throughout the season. So they're going to get a healthier roster back overall next year. But Jimmy's entering the 4th year of his 5-year deal that runs through 2022. So he has a cap hit of $26.4 million in 2021 and $27 million in 2022. So he's owed a combined $51 million over the next 2 seasons, but there's no guaranteed money left on his deal. So he'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2023. So ideally, if we are to believe what John just said, they're going to keep Jimmy for this year. And then next year, if they move him, it's not going to be there. No guaranteed money on the books. And Trey Lance will have been able to sit. We all know he didn't play last year. He doesn't only has 17 starts in college.
Right.
So this is the perfect situation if Jimmy can be healthy.
Yeah.
However, if Jimmy is not healthy, you put Trey out there. Like,
yeah,
that's part of getting a rookie quarterback is that you have essentially 3 years. That's the window that pretty much everyone agrees on is what you need for a rookie quarterback to develop. So if Jimmy isn't healthy, you took Trey 3rd overall for a reason.
Yeah.
There wasn't no guarantee that Jimmy was going to be there. As he said, if someone offered him a trade for Jimmy, they were going to trade him. So
yeah.
I think it's a perfect situation for San Francisco. And I think the fan base is very excited.
Trey. I mean, you and I said this, and I don't know if this is true, but it's been discussed. The Mac Jones rumors got such, it wasn't just tepid, the vitriol. People were like, no, not going to happen. So to me, and you can say it doesn't matter, folks.
It does matter.
It matters. I mean, if you don't think it matters, then look at some of the moves New England, Belichick has made. The day they brought Cam in, remember the day there was going to be bad news for the Patriots, publicly bad news? They brought Cam in that day. And that's Belichick, who's unfireable. Don't kid yourself. getting crushed all day on KNBR in San Francisco for 9 hours a day on radio for 4 months is not good business for organizations.
No, and we talked about this a little bit last week. It's the difference between, you know, having influence and forcing decisions. Like, fans do have an influence on what you do. Yeah. That's what pays the bills is the fans. Like, those are the people that are in your building.
They're customers.
The people that buy merchandise. Yes, it's your customers. So you should pay attention to them. Doesn't mean that they need to make the decision for you. And it's probably a little unfair to Mac Jones, but I think all in all, everyone got landed in the perfect situation for them.
Yeah.
Mac Jones is with the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. So it was a big year for quarterbacks in the draft. 8 were taken in the first 3 rounds, which is the most in draft history. The previous record was 7 in 3 rounds, which has happened 6 times in the common draft era. And most recently in 2012, we are showing the list of the quarterbacks selected in the first rounds. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields at 11, Mac Jones at 15, Kyle Trask at 64, Kellen Mond at 66. Which Trent just mentioned is the sleeper in this draft in the 3rd round, and Davis Mills at 67 to the Texans.
Now, only 2 of the 8 will be playing day 1, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson.
Yes.
And we know historically the first 2 quarterbacks taken almost never go 2 for 2. So one of the easiest predictions is that of the first 2 quarterbacks taken, 1 will fail. And I don't think it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. I thought Jacksonville went big offense in the draft, and he's in a good spot in a quirky division.
Well, I mean, the division for the AFC East is not what it used to be. I mean, it used to be a disaster for years and years, which is part of the reason that the Patriots were able to take advantage of it.
Not anymore.
It's not the same anymore, and it's all new. It's all brand new. Now, I think that they should be patient. You know, I don't have high expectations, although I'm very interested to see what Zach Wilson looks like and what Robert Saleh does with that defense. And you know, there's a lot of interesting stories. What the ceiling is and the potential, you know, for them to develop this year is not so many, because there are some great, great rosters. And, you know, you just look at Tampa bringing everyone back. So Trevor Lawrence was locked in as the Jags' choice with the first overall pick long before his name was called. And now he also leads the way in offensive rookie of the year odds. According to Fox Bets, Lawrence is the favorite at plus 250. Justin Fields is second, plus 400. Zach Wilson, plus 450, above Trey Lance and Mac Jones, but he is going to be playing, and we're not expecting Mac Jones or Trey Lance to be playing week 1. So that's probably why he has higher odds than Justin Fields, obviously, as we discussed earlier. I think he's going to be out there a lot earlier than they are talking about, but
I'll give you a total dark horse. If Christian McCaffrey got banged up a little, watch Chuba Hubbard for Carolina. See, he was a running back at Oklahoma State. What's that?
Well, I'm surprised Kyle Pitts is not high.
Chuba Hubbard, my bad. He has a little fumble issue. That kid is not a fourth-round talent. Like, that kid can flat play. Just watch him in Carolina. He will get, because they don't want to put a ton of pressure on Darnold with a brand-new system.
Right.
So watch him. I thought that was a great fourth-round pick.
I think Kyle Pitts is obviously.
Oh, you're right. Kyle Pitts. Boom. Boom. That's it.
Yeah.
He wasn't on the board?
Well, I mean, we just had the top 5. But the last
non-Kyle Pitts,
quarterback
that's
to
it.
Win the award was Saquon in 2018. And then Odell was in 2000. Last non-quarterback and not non-running back was Odell in 2014.
So let's find out where Kyle Pitts is. Joy's right. That's your dark horse bet. He's going to be a 70-catch guy.
Yeah, I think he's.
Plus, he's so heralded.
His
story's good.
Yeah.
He's not coming from nowhere. We're all going to. And he's got a veteran quarterback, so. Yeah. He's going to have a big year.
He's plus 1,000, so I'll go take my monies over there right now.
I'm going to go buy a boat today. That's an easy one. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
If you're tired of LeBron James, I'm not, but many of you are, it could be working in your favor. LeBron suddenly looks old, really old. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you get when you cross a Mercedes with a race car? You get chills, you get goosebumps. No other way to say it. OMG, AMG. Go to MBUSA.com/AMG. So listen, LeBron James has been dominating a long time. NBA ratings have been down last several years. Nobody's quite sure why. Is there a LeBron fatigue? I don't know. I find him to be captivating. Not everybody does. He has been the league's overwhelming story for 15 years and has earned all that visibility and acclaim. But LeBron's getting old. He's had two major injuries and several small ones in the last couple of years, and it's taking all of them longer to heal. This is called age. This is what happens to everybody. You can remember the late Kobe Bryant had a couple of big injuries late. It takes him longer to come back. And what has compounded the frustration for LeBron is last year they got a lot of breaks. The Clippers melted down. A lot of the veteran teams struggled. The bubble gave him an AD 4.5 months off. It really worked out perfectly for them. This year, they're not getting breaks. LeBron usually gets, we checked, about 120 days off after being in the finals, win or lose. This year, he got 70. So he's been in a bad mood from the beginning. He didn't like the season starting December 22nd. He said it should have been late January. He didn't like the All-Star weekend. He hates this play-in game thing. The breaks aren't going his way. And what compounded it and his frustration, and he won't say this because he does like Anthony Davis, but he was sort of hoping this was the year Anthony would kind of emerge as the 38-minute-a-game guy. And what happened? Anthony Davis got off to a really bad start and then got hurt again. And so between the condensed schedule, LeBron's injury, AD doesn't step up, things are not going well. Now they're struggling. They don't have any chemistry. LeBron is hurt again. This just feels a little bit now, the last week, like the opposite of last year. Last year was great chemistry, got a break, everybody healthy, good teams falling off. Well, this year there's a lot of good teams like the Sixers, Bucks, Denver, Utah playing well. So LeBron talked yesterday. He got hurt late, pulled himself out of a game, and he is just not in a great mood.
If I'm not 100%, close to 100%, it don't matter, you know, where we land, you know. So, you know, that's my mindset. And, you know, if this happens to we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired.
So just a lot of things are compounding negatively. So after all worked perfectly last year, The key in this whole thing was Anthony Davis. This was going to be the year, right? We talked about it. We're like, okay, this is the year. AD's the guy, and LeBron scales back. AD got off to a lousy start, and then AD got, because this happens all the time, hurt, and so LeBron had to play more, and then LeBron gets hurt, and then AD is slow to come back, and LeBron does, and he gets hurt again. So they don't have their chemistry. They don't have their health. They're really a health story right now. And they got the biggest break last year with that pandemic, 4.5 months. This year, they squished all the games together, and it just doesn't work for an old guy or a brittle guy in AD. And it will be interesting. This is why I'm a fan of Zion. Right now, the NBA is in a weird spot. Who's the guy you hand the baton to as the face of the league? AD doesn't talk much. He's great. Giannis isn't a big talker. Great. Kawhi's great. Doesn't talk. Kyrie, Kevin Durant, Harden, they're not really face of the league guys. They're a little odd, strange, just different cats. So, I mean, this is why it's really important for a Zion to pop, because the NBA has gotten a gift for like 15 years. LeBron doesn't get in trouble. He's great. He's in the finals. Good spokesman for the league. And now all of a sudden it is teetering fast and he can't stay healthy. And when he does come back, it takes a long time to get back. So it's a weird spot. Do not feel good. It's amazing how things change quickly. About 2 weeks ago, I thought it was all going to work out, and now none of it is working out for the Lakers. You're still running your business on QuickBooks, spreadsheets. Time to upgrade. NetSuite.com/herd. One-of-a-kind financing programs. NetSuite handles all your financials, e-commerce, inventory, all that stuff. All right. Aaron Rodgers, the drama continues. I will say this about the draft. It got tremendous ratings from what I could tell. Everybody feels good today. I totally get it. Three teams, I'll talk about that next, I thought had great off seasons. So there's, you know, with the draft, half of these guys are going to have a new coach in 2 years. So I cannot grade just drafts alone. We'll see you hour three next.